At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome, everybody, to a special episode of Positively Trek. And you might be looking at your podcast feed going, this isn't the day Positively Trek usually comes out. Well, first of all, sometimes that happens because I'm late on, you know, editing stuff. But in this case, it's a special extra episode because we have decided to cover the Star Trek comics on a monthly basis. And basically this episode, knock on wood, as long as I get it edited as when it's supposed to be, should be out on the last day in July. So that is a Thursday. So you should also get a regular episode of Positively Trek tomorrow as well. I really hope I'm not writing checks that my butt can't cash at this point, but we'll see how that goes. So we are talking about all of the comics that were released by IDW in the Star Trek universe in July. And of course, because it's comics, I can't do it alone. I have to have my wonderful partner in crime for comics with me, Brandi Jackala. Brandi, how's it going?
Oh, I am so happy to be here. I can't wait to talk about these comics. This is like one of the highlights of my life is getting to talk about comics with you. So
excellent.
I'm so here for this.
I mean, I have to admit, this is entirely selfish on my part as well, because I love reading these comics and, you know, I don't know anybody near me, around me, that reads them as well. So I love this chance to talk about them. So thank you for indulging me.
Oh, no. Thank you for letting me do this, because I don't know that anyone else would let me do this.
Well, it's awesome. I really appreciate it. So this month, July, we had two comics released. And the first one is Star Trek Lower Decks number 9. This is an ongoing series that's been going on for a while. And they typically have been doing 2-issue story arcs. So basically a part 1 and part 2. And this is the start of a brand new story. So we're not jumping in the middle of some story. This is a brand new story starting out here. And we also got a new miniseries starting this month, which I'm really excited to talk about. Star Trek Red Shirts. We have the number 1 issue that we're going to be talking about later. So I'm so excited for this.
Same. I love new Star Trek comics. I love new comics, period. But when it's Star Trek, it's like top of the heap, always. They're the first ones I read.
Well, let's get started with Lower Decks number 9. And I first want to talk about the cover art for this issue, because
so great.
This is beautiful. Now, I should back up and say, for the last little while, Lower Decks has only been putting out one cover for each issue. And with this issue, they once again started with doing a regular cover and a variant B cover as well. So I guess I have a question for you, because you get physical comics. Do you tend to just get the A cover generally, or do you pick and choose variant covers and shop around for that?
Honestly, the variant covers go so fast that it is difficult to get hands on them. Mm. And basically by the time I manage to get to the comic book store, they are out of the variants. Okay. From time to time, I might be able to snag one, but for the most part, I just usually get the regular cover because it's too much stress trying to do anything else.
Yeah. No, sometimes they can be really limited with various different covers they do. But I love the A cover for this. And it's totally a spoof of the classic Jaws trailer. You know the one where you've got the swimmer on the surface and there's a shark underneath the water coming up towards her. But in this case, it's Tendi swimming on the surface in a really cool little Lower Deck style one-piece bathing suit. And it's a giant Ferengi coming up to get her. A Ferengi loan shark, if you will, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, the attention to detail, the position that Tendi's in, the size of the Ferengi's head, etc. It is perfection. Like, almost shot for shot, that poster for that movie. And mm-hmm. I remember when that movie came out, because I'm that old. And I remember that poster, and it terrified me.
It's one of the classics. It's really effective. So I love this little spoof here, for sure.
I adore it. I laughed out loud when I saw it.
Well, laughing out loud, I think, is something we're going to be doing a lot, because like the Lower Decks television series, this comic is off the wall. Let's get started, I guess. We jump into the story, which is called, according to the first page, A Pound of Flush. Nice little pun there.
Immediately, I'm laughing, yeah.
And we have Tendi waking up to another perfect day in Starfleet. And everything is just perfect. The bed is perfectly made with amazing standard issue sheets. The door whooshes perfect when she walks into the bar on the Cerritos. Everything is just perfect.
A little too perfect.
Maybe a little bit too perfect. Because, yeah, we start noticing things are kind of going a little bit weird. We have Boimler, for example, asking two questions that he's always wanted to ask Tendi. One, are you proud of whatever you did to get into Starfleet Academy? And two, is it weird that I had never asked that question and I'm not even here? And all of a sudden he's replaced by Billups, who's very thrilled to be part of a group now.
Oh, Billups. Oh, I just want to give him a hug.
I find it sad because we'll find out very soon that this is all a dream. Tendi is having a nightmare, basically, or a very good dream, I guess, but with nightmarish elements that are going to creep into it based on stuff from her past. But like, even in her dream, Billups is sad that he's not part of this friend group and is depressed. That's sad.
Yeah, it's been that way for... I've been rewatching Lower Decks. And I am just getting to season 5, and I had forgotten how early Billups was shown to be a sad, lonely man.
Aww.
And it just hurts my heart.
Yeah, well, it's definitely the impression he's given Tendi as well, apparently, because, poor Billups. But he gets to be part of the group because Boimler disappears and he appears in his place, so. We have Tendi going to sick bay. And Dr. Ta'ana is not on duty. We have a new doctor in this strange dreamscape. I think you may want to speak on this character in particular.
There's a Dr. Moopsie. A Dr. Moopsie.
I love this.
A Dr. Moopsie. I laughed for... I literally was just laughing for 5 minutes. And every time it would start to calm down, I'd start giggling again. And of course, you know, it just goes around saying, Dr. Moopsie!
I love, yeah, it actually says Dr. Moopsie like that. Yep. That was
It's got
great.
Like the Beverly coat on, like the tiny, like it's in a tiny blue uniform. And it's got the Beverly coat on over it.
Yep.
And just this Moopsie, which later on you'll see a draining mariner of her bones.
Yes, absolutely. or Talyn, yeah.
No, Talyn, excuse me, not mariner. Apologies.
It appears to be draining them through her butt, too, which is very undignified. You know,
it is, but does the Moopsie, Dr. Moopsie care? No.
No, no.
Bones are bones. Bones are bones. And Moopsie's going to drink them.
Absolutely. So the other thing from this scene I wanted to talk about was something that was also referred to in the Star Trek Omega issue, but We kind of jumped over it and didn't really talk about it. There's a talk of Federation President Antos. And it occurs to me, and it's driven home here because we actually see Federation President Antos on screen here, who appears to be a very young woman. Federation President Antos, Heather Antos, is the editor of the Star Trek line at IDW. That's brilliant. She's the president of the Federation. I love it.
Good for her. She deserves it. Earned that.
Absolutely. I can't believe I didn't catch that in Omega, because that was, if you remember, Picard was talking to the admirals and saying, Federation President Antos wants to speak with the two of you and all of that.
Yeah, that's, it went right over my head.
I totally missed that. I love it. Well, anyway, Tendi gets a pretty rude awakening here by what looks to be a huge liquid Ferengi head that emerges from the computer, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Definitely odd. And I love that we see it basically bounces Tendi across the room, as well as the computer monitor image of the president.
Yeah, it's she has some interesting dreams, doesn't she?
Absolutely. So now we get her actual morning, which is very much not as perfect as the dream morning. She's not having a good time of it. She cusses out the Federation issue sheets that are horrible, yells at people that are trying to talk to her about communications logs. She seems to have been getting a lot of subspace messages recently, which seems to trigger her somewhat. She's not happy and really needs coffee.
Yeah, there's definitely something up. I wasn't sure what it was, and when I found out what it was, I, again, laughed for several minutes.
Definitely. And it's funny, this comic does stretch out the revelation of what that is. And in the meantime, we learn that their current mission is gathering Gormagander feces, seems to be the current mission of the Cerritos. Or, as Tendi puts it, alien pooter scoots, which is not a phrase I think I've ever heard before.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful little name for something that I do not want to experience ever.
And she's supposed to be grouping them by shape, I guess. The different samples, I guess. Probably the less said about this, the better. Not sure what the end goal of this mission is, but Starfleet sometimes has. I mean, there was that admiral in the Lower Decks episode that was mad because his main assignment was milking Gormaganders. I feel like at this point you'd want that assignment if you had this one.
Right. Agree. Because, you know, milk is probably not as smelly or as plentiful, let's say, as pooter scoots.
So Tendi, besides just the horrific nature of this mission, is not having a good time. She falls asleep during a briefing. This bit of rest includes another Ferengi nightmare. So Captain Freeman ends up sending Tendi for counseling with Dr. Miglimo, who apparently yells his name as an announcement when people come to see him. And I love Shax. Please don't shout your own name at us. He says, I just get so excited for visitors.
And of course I can hear it in Paul F. Tompkins' voice.
Totally. I love this. Tendi has a huge oversized cup of coffee. She's had several of them, but still falls asleep in the middle of this counseling session. Apparently face down in the coffee, gets burns all over her face, prompting Dr. Ta'ana to say, another Miglimo-related near death.
Yeah, what is up with that? I mean, should a therapist be that dangerous?
I want to know how many more there have been and what the circumstances were. There needs to be an inquiry into that.
I would like a one-shot issue detailing all of the deaths or near deaths that have happened due in some part to Dr. Miglimo. I need that in my life.
I love it. It could be like a Lower Decks annual issue, like a yes. special issue or something. That would be great.
Yes. Yes. People who are working on the comics, get on that because I know you're listening.
Hear, hear. Absolutely. So, yeah, we come to learn that Tendi owes the Ferengi a huge debt, which is a problem because, as we learn, Starfleet officers are paid in prestige, primarily. Apparently, some of them also get a small per diem, which Boimler is upset about because apparently both Mariner and Tendi get a small per diem, which he was not aware of.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, yes, you're part of the Federation, but at the same time, has every single planet in the Federation stopped using money? Probably not. So mm-hmm. it seems to me like having Federation credits is actually a good thing.
Probably, yeah. I love Boimler. Wait, you get a per diem? And Mariner says, just enough to cover my gambling losses. Your gambling losses are huge!
She's still gambling. Mariner.
I do love the idea that Starfleet officers are paid primarily in prestige, though.
Well, that's the thing, is that they're not doing this to get paid. They're doing this because they want to. What would it be like if we could just do what we wanted to do in life without having to worry about bills and housing and food and transportation? The things we could accomplish.
Oh, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Back to the real world, sadly. So apparently to pay her way to get to Starfleet Academy, including like transport and room and board and food, Tendi traded a percentage of her signing bonus with the Academy to a Ferengi named Glom. And of course, she didn't know at the time there was no signing bonus to get into Starfleet Academy. I think all of this just comes down to Glom being a really bad Ferengi. Like, he should probably know that and not have gotten involved in this to begin with.
Agree, but poor Tendi, because she wanted so desperately to get out of that pirate life and to do what she feels she's meant to do, which is be a science officer. And mm-hmm. so I can't blame her for finding a way to do that, even though she was hoodwinked by a Ferengi.
I love this flashback scene, too, of Tendi at the Academy with this shuttle. And there's a bunch going on. You kind of see Boothby in the background there. What could be Riker, he looks a little young and his facial hair isn't right, but this other officer is handing him a trombone. Looks Riker-ish, but... But in the foreground, there's a Benzite, a Bolian, and a Tellarite all jogging, and an officer in yellow with her arms folded. And it's very small, but just based on the way she looks and her rather large hair, I'm going to say that's Raffi. That looks like Raffi to me.
Yeah, me too. I thought the same thing.
I like that. I'm counting that as a Raffi sighting.
I agree. Any Raffi sighting is good Raffi sighting.
So Mariner is optimistic that they can deal with the Ferengi. Tendi, less so. I do want to talk about this little back and forth between Boimler and Mariner, though, where Boimler says, "You do not want to find yourself on the business end of one of those weird energy whips. I can tell you that." And Mariner's response to him, "When were you energy whipped by a Ferengi? Wait, was this a holosuite thing? Or Ryza? It was Ryza, wasn't it, you sick bleep?" I think it was actually when they evicted him from the hotel room on Ferenginar mm-hmm. in that episode. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea that Mariner thinks he was getting kinky with it or something.
Yeah, no, he was just being evicted from his sad little room.
Just go limp, Benson.
just go limp. Let him take you. How Ransom just so happily said all of these things. As if he's like, hey man, you're awesome. I'm sorry, but you are going to be dragged out of here. But yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, that would be Parth Ferengi's Heart Place, which is the best pun of an obscure horror comedy series.
It has since made me watch Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. So thank you, Star Trek Lower Decks, for that.
Yes. Luckily, Dave and I had watched it prior to that episode. Not like we knew that it was going to be part of that episode. But yeah, it was a while ago where Dave's like, hey, I think, let's watch this, because we switch off picking what we're going to watch. And he's like, I think you'll like this. And I'm like, oh, it's got Richard Ayoade in it? Of course I'm going to like it. Oh, it's got Matt Berry in it? Double going to like it.
Heck yes.
So it was an instant win for me.
Well, we're going to get to the only part of this issue that I was just like not the biggest fan of. And that's Tendi contemplating having to deal with the Ferengi and settle all this makes her projectile vomit, which causes Boimler to jump back and scream. And Mariner says, why are you screaming? And he yells, I touched Pooter Scoot, because he landed in the Gormagander poop. And then he starts projectile vomiting, and then Mariner starts projectile vomiting. And I'm just like, I feel like this is just to fill up a page and not my brand of humor.
Yeah, not mine either. I don't ever want to see or hear or even get any kind of inkling that there is going to be vomiting of any kind. I don't care what it is. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to smell it. I don't want it. And it's just a really cheap trick, in my opinion, to just, you know, it's so pedestrian. Mm-hmm. That kind of humor is just below the belt. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either. This is all interrupted by a kaboom and a red alert, thankfully. So they get out of there. The ship is surrounded by three Ferengi vessels, and Damon Glom of the Ferengi Marauder Enterprise, which, as we've discussed with your superiors, is a purely coincidental non-infringement, he wants to make clear. Which is, you know, Enterprise is the perfect name for a Ferengi ship. Like,
it truly is. It
actually makes sense.
Yeah. And besides that, infringement? It's not infringement on Starfleet's side. It's like, we don't care what you name your ship.
I like that the Ferengi would be like afraid of getting sued for copyright infringement, though.
Exactly. That's the funny thing about it. It's like, it's all in their heads. They don't realize Starfleet does not care.
So, yeah, basically, they demand the surrender of Devana Tendi to their care, or they will destroy the Cerritos. And that's where we end with a cliffhanger ending here. And apparently next week we're promised an all-new issue, The Fools of Acquisition.
I like the puns.
Enjoy the puns, yes. So I like Glom's look here. He's got an eye patch, but it's jewel encrusted. He's got a little,
of course,
little tiny ruby in the middle, I guess, or what looks like a ruby. Yeah, very, you know, a nice blinged up Ferengi, I guess.
Well, he's showing his wealth and showing how he's very good at the rules of acquisition. So
what are your thoughts on Star Trek Lower Decks number 9, I guess?
There are parts of it that I like, and there are parts of it that I really didn't. We've already talked about that. And I feel like the premise is a bit weak. The fact that Tendi, I mean, I know Tendi is always thinking the best of people, but she wanted to go to Starfleet Academy. It stands to reason that she would have done her research before going there. And so, you know, she would know that there was an assigning bonus. So that was a pill that was a little too hard for me to swallow. But I still enjoyed parts of it. I mean, Dr. Moopsie alone. In fact, I give this comic a Dr. Moopsie. So, and if the Moopsie doesn't like it, it will come and drink my bones. So
definitely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed this one, but probably a little less than I have been enjoying the series up to now. This is a bit of a weaker entry, I think. It does seem to tread water for a little while to just kind of extend the story a bit. And yeah, the premise, again, I'm not as convinced either, because it's just, yeah, Tendi's smarter than that. Let's be frank, the Ferengi are generally a little smarter than that. They should know that, like, oh, I'm going to do all this stuff for you on the promise of a share of your salary from the Federation. No, dude.
Mm-mm.
It's fun. It's cute. I could have done without some of the more over-the-top humor, I guess. But the other thing I miss, and Tim Sheridan is the writer of this, I do miss Ryan North, who used to write the series. For a lot of reasons, I think his humor was just a little bit sharper, a little bit more in line with Lower Decks. And I also really liked those little, like,
the little stuff at the bottom of the page.
Yeah. The little interstitials, I guess, or the out of universe editor talking to you bits. I love those.
I loved those. And when it stopped being him writing it, it was very noticeable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where did all the things go? Oh, different writer.
So, yeah, I guess, if I'm going to give this a rating, I'm going to give this one jewel-encrusted Ferengi eye patch.
Fair enough.
Of that rating what you will.
Yeah, just like make of the Moopsie rating what you will. So,
exactly.
You never know. I'm not going to explain my ratings. You'll just have to guess.
Exactly. All right. Well, we'll take a quick break there. And when we come back, we're going to dive into Star Trek Red Shirts number one.
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
As always, Positively Trek is brought to you by its Patreon supporters, including Joyce Mirren, Brandy Jackala, Christina DeClercq-Zalagi, John Guppy, Out of Memory, Patrick Carlin, and Ricky Long. If you'd like to support the podcast, visit patreon.com/positivelytrek. You can join at any level and enjoy early access to episodes, ad-free episodes, episode shoutouts, executive producer credits, and more. Again, that's patreon.com/positivelytrek. Thank you so much to those of you supporting us. We truly do appreciate it. And now, back to the show. So Star Trek Red Shirts number 1, written by Christopher Cantwell with art by Megan Levins, came out on July 16th, and I've been really excited for this one. The start of a new miniseries by Christopher Cantwell, who I love. His work in Star Trek Defiant was really good, and I've read some of his other comics over the years. Love his stuff, so this is supposed to have kind of a bit of a horror bent to it. When I picked this up, I wasn't entirely sure what to expect, but what I got, I loved. I'm just going to state that right at the start. So how about you, Brandy? Were you looking forward to this series?
I absolutely was looking forward to this series, had no idea what to expect, was ready to just throw myself into it and see what happened, and I was not disappointed in any way, shape, or form.
Well, if that that cover is anything to go by, you kind of get the tone that it's going for. And this is another one they had three different covers for. There was this one. The B cover was like a recruiting poster for Starfleet, and it was a red shirt with like a black eye, a bloodied face, and his arm in a sling. And then the third one, the retailer incentive one, was like actually really grotesque. It was like a badly burned red body holding a smoking phaser, just kind of looking at the, it was, you know, very much evocative of the tone they're going for, I think.
Yeah, this is definitely not going to be full of guffaws in any way.
No.
really not that.
Yeah, definitely a strong juxtaposition to the Lower Decks comic, for sure.
Well, yeah, well, see, they're taking this trope that is something that's humorous to most Star Trek fans, and they're presenting it like it really would happen. Mm-hmm. And instead of being a joke, this is very serious, being a red shirt. And they all seem to know that their lifespan is not going to be very long, that the most red shirts don't make it to, you know, captain. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, I think nothing illustrates this more than the very first page.
Talk about slap me upside the head with it.
Literally.
Yeah, right. It's just, I was like, this is the first panel? Okay. I got it. I know what you're doing.
Yeah. So we get this full page panel of, we meet Ensign Miller, and his face is getting basically ripped apart by a Mugato. I don't know. However you want to pronounce it in this case.
It's a Mugato. Gumato.
Mugato.
Mugato.
Mugato. I forgot about that one. Yeah. Awesome. This Ensign Miller, he sustains this eye injury, as well as a lot of other injury, I guess, from this Mugato while serving on the USS Constellation, because he's under the command of Commodore Decker. And apparently he also was stranded for 8 days alone after getting that injury before being rescued. And he's kind of what's known in the business as a survivor, because that was pretty intense and amazing that he survived that.
That's just looking at this panel, it makes my face hurt. It really does. And I also do not like eye violence. Oh, I have a really hard time with that. And so I looked at that like, nope. And then I had to look at it again. I'm like, okay, just read the text. Just read the text. Read the text, Brandy. It'll be okay.
Well, yeah, they're embracing the trope of the red shirt here, because we get this montage, basically, this 9-panel page of various red shirt deaths, just kind of illustrating why most of them don't live very long and healthy lives. We have, a guy getting vaporized by a Klingon disruptor, one guy's head getting crushed by this robot, another falling off a cliff. We've got a guy's skull being caved in by a big green hand, maybe a Gorn, it looks like. I'm not sure. Just a smoking uniform is all that's left of this one. There's this one security officer who looks like maybe she's being spaghettified as she goes into a black hole. That's kind of my guess.
Yeah.
There's an explosion with just like a flaming piece of uniform with the little delta on it. That's all that's left. And then the last one is just this big, huge bug. And by huge, I mean like the size of a train car. With its pincers around another one. Yeah.
I would say even bigger than that. I would say the size of a semi-truck towing a 40-foot trailer.
So yeah, this is giving us an indication very early on what this series is going to be like. It's not going to pull any punches here for sure.
No, and it's certainly not going to hold your hand either. It is just, it is unabashedly what it is.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. I'm kind of digging the tone here. I'm really liking this. So from there we go to this planet Arconia 89, where Lieutenant Cromarty, who is kind of the exception to the rule, he's a security officer who's actually lived quite a while, and he's been stationed at this antenna array for nearly a year, we find out later. And this antenna array has been hacked by parties unknown. Supposedly, it only transmits, quote, remote stellar wind data from the Arconia sector. But that's basically all that Starfleet is telling the security officers. Like, yeah, that's what it does. But why would it be hacked then? There's probably something more going on with it. I love the introduction to this guy. He's like that old gruff survivalist guy, and he blasts a like centipede with a laser and chows down on it because it beats eating ration cubes. He's, you know, rough and tumble, old, grizzled guy, I guess.
That thing looks like a giant earwig, and it just put me off.
Yeah,
just I like, would. No, nope.
Nope. I wouldn't be able to be within like a couple yards of that. Like
Or meters. Either way, don't want it.
I was trying to speak to the audience, but yeah. Basically, he's been stationed there for a while on his own and not really feeling particularly valued by Starfleet. But apparently this Operation Squawk Box is going to go ahead. They're going to try and figure out who's been hacking this relay system. And the plan is to bait the relay with legitimate intelligence, so actual, actionable Starfleet intelligence, and then take it offline using photon torpedoes. So, you know, we're already going in with the colloquialisms here, I guess. Taking it offline with photon torpedoes. This will hopefully draw the spies out, and Starfleet security will be waiting there. This sounds like a great plan that you just throw a bunch of bodies at.
You know, isn't that what the red shirts are for?
Apparently.
Apparently. Yeah. And honestly, who names their kid Midge? I'm sorry, but what is that? Just no. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah, I don't know. Midge, is that short for something? I can't remember.
It is, but I don't know that it's something that whether it's actual given name or whether it's short for whatever her given name is. But I don't remember what Midge stands for. I just think it's not a great name. And that's not the fault of the character.
No. Yeah, when I flip to the back and it has like a list of all the characters, she is, Lieutenant Midge Dematrio. So maybe that's her actual full name, I guess. Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Midge. You deserve better.
Is there a character in Archie Comics named Midge?
I don't know. I haven't read Archie Comics for about 40 years. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I feel like that's the only other time I've ever heard Midge.
Yeah. I think I've heard it like in movies and stuff, but not often.
Other than like, is it a slang for a type of bug or something? I don't know. Anyway.
We'll figure it out after the fact and let you all know.
Yeah. Or somebody listening, if you know, let us know. I'd love to know that.
Please do that.
So this force of security officers, all red shirts, of course, are going to be a part of this mission, along with Lieutenant Cromarty and Midge Dematrio, who has this relationship with Cromarty, is going to be coming as well. So he doesn't seem to be too keen on this idea, but ours is not to question why, ours is only to do or die, I guess. So, yeah.
And there's probably going to be a lot of dying.
Well, yeah, once we learn what the plan is here. So
plan? The plan? I wouldn't call it that, but okay.
Yeah. So we meet a few of these characters, and I'm sure we'll get to know, well, a few of them as we go. Some of them we're not going to learn any more about. You can imagine why.
Yeah.
They're going to go to the surface of Arconia 89, not in a shuttlecraft. They're not going to beam down. They're going to be fired at the surface of the planet in torpedo casings and beamed out by Cromartie on the surface just before impact. That's the plan.
That is a stupid plan.
It's really stupid.
It's so dumb. Who thought of this? I want to smack you.
Yes, absolutely.
Just no. No, don't do it.
So, yeah, they're all loaded into these torpedoes, a few of them yelling expletives as they're getting ready to go. They all get fired towards the surface. And this part here, I was like, I get this reference and I love it. The one Ensign Warren, who we met at the very beginning, is yelling, "My brains are going into my feet." Now, that was Dark Helmet in Spaceballs when they're going into ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous
that made
speed
me laugh
now.
Out loud. I see you, person who put that reference in there. I'm assuming Christopher Cantwell. Bravo, sir.
Yes, well done. We love references of other science fiction space comedies.
And the fact that it's a Rick Moranis quote just makes me so happy.
I know. Dark Helmet. Oh, man. I gotta watch Spaceballs again.
I know. Did you see the little teaser they did for they're going to be doing Spaceballs 2 next year?
Yes, I did. And I don't know that that's a good idea.
I don't know either. We'll see. The fact that it's Mel Brooks doing it makes me a little more hopeful. I'm glad it's not just like some other person has the IP and is going to do it. I did love in that little thing where he's like, "We listened to the fans. We heard what they wanted. But we're making this movie instead."
Yes. Yes. Good times.
I love it. So yeah, we get that little Spaceballs reference. They're screaming towards the planet in photon torpedoes. Cromartie is beaming them out, but there's a malfunction and everything powers down. I'm assuming that creature that he was talking about, it looks like it's attacking the systems or something. So there's two people in torpedo casings that don't get beamed out. One of whom just slams into the ground full speed. That is Duntley. Ensign Duntley is gone. We're not going to learn any more about him. But this other character, Ensign Meng, he manages to nudge his torpedo to change course and ends up kind of skipping across the surface and survives that. Now, it's a little unclear to me. I think he then gets killed when the rest of the actual torpedoes hit the ground and explode. So I don't know for sure that he's gone, but I feel like he is.
It kind of looks like it from that next panel.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's dead.
I think so. Which is like, it's like doubly tragic that he was somehow able to survive that. Like he managed to actually survive the planet fall. And then is killed anyway. If that's not a statement about what this series is going to be like, I don't know what is.
Agreed.
It's darkly funny, but like very darkly funny.
It's so dark, you guys. Like, yeah. Even a lot of the panels are dark. Like, the actual colors that are being used are dark.
Yeah.
There's no sunshine happiness up in here.
So the surviving members of the team are at this base, and they're like traumatized, even though they got out. Like the one guy is like, are we dead? Another member of the team who's a Betazoid says, Duntley and Meng are gone. I guess that's confirmation there. I don't sense them at all. And then the Vulcan member of the team, unfortunate, as precedent suggests, attrition will continue. There's the foreshadowing for the rest of the series.
Yep. I feel like everybody's going to die. Just everybody is going to die.
Yeah. Or like Warren is going to once again be the sole survivor or something. So as the surviving members of the team regroup on the surface, the spies are revealed. It is the Romulans. Our heroes don't know that, but it's revealed to us readers.
Yep. Nice old school Romulan warbird up in there.
Yeah.
Really nice. That made me happy.
Yeah. I love the TOS-ness of this comic. I love, mm-hmm. I love the, they're all in like the old style red shirt uniforms. That Cromarty guy is even wearing like an away team over jacket from the cage, like that old blue sparkly one. And then the Romulan old school uniforms, the old school bird of prey. Beautiful. I love it.
Same. It really set a tone, and it also set a time period for us.
Yeah, my summary of my feelings of this, I have no notes. Like, I loved this issue start to finish. Megan Levins, I think, just killed it with the artwork in this, too.
Oh, yes.
Everything is just, it's pitch perfect. The character designs, especially since there's not one single character we've met before. Well, except, I guess, Commodore Decker at the very beginning, but, like, whatever. All of these new characters, they all have very distinctive looks. They're all very well realized. And yeah, the action, all of it, the artwork is just gorgeous.
It really is. The minute I saw Commodore Decker, I'm like, I know what era we're in. Because he ain't dead yet.
Yeah. Absolutely. I just can't believe Meng made it to the surface. And just, oh. God. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, that's, I think, again, that's setting this tone that no one is safe. No one has immunity in this plot. Anyone could get killed at any time.
No.
And maybe they die doing something heroic, or maybe they just die stupidly. Chances are they just die stupidly, frankly. Not because they did something stupid, but it's just a stupid circumstance.
So yeah, I loved this. I think, like I said, no notes. Absolutely love this. I'm going to give this one huge Federation array taken offline by torpedoes.
I agree with you completely. I think that this is a really strong start. I like really strong, like maybe one of the best starts of a comic series, miniseries that I've ever seen, regardless of what comic it is. So I'm going to give this one big, why is her name Midge?
I love it. Love it. Well, there we go. That's all of July's comics, just two issues this month. Next month, we also only have two issues, and unfortunately, we're going to have to wait an extra month for Red Shirts number 2, because the two issues coming out next month are Lower Decks number 10, so presumably the conclusion of the Tendi Orion Ferengi debt issue, and then the start of another miniseries, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, The Seeds of Salvation. So issue number 1 is coming next month for that. So that's what we'll be talking about next month, and I'm really looking forward to that. But in the meantime, Brandy, what are you up to that our listeners might be interested in?
I have a couple of podcasts, one of which is Shield Podulation, where my husband Dave and I randomly choose an episode of Star Trek to watch. And thank you again for the use of your spreadsheet, because it's just so perfectly done and easy to use. So thank you for that.
Except when I use weird acronyms for Picard.
Let it go. Let it go. We're fine. We're fine. So yeah, it's we have a really great time. We don't edit anything out. So the conversation you hear is the conversation we had start to finish, be that as it may. At the time that this comes out, there'll probably be a couple of episodes of Boldly Go, which is my Strange New Worlds podcast. And because it is so hard to schedule people, I have bullied my husband into being a co-host. Okay, I didn't bully him into it. I begged him. Because he was raised with all women, and he does not have an ounce of toxic masculinity in his whole body. So he's going to be a lot of fun to do this episode with. And I'll still try to get some other female guests if they have time. But I'm also going the shield podulation route with this because I'm tired of editing, and so I'm not going to do it. So the conversation you will hear is the conversation that we had, and there it is. And then there's this thing called the Unready Room that I do with, what's that guy's name? Oh, right, it's you, Dan!
I was going to say, probably some nerd.
Yeah. Oh, I am a big nerd. I take that as a compliment. People call me a nerd. I'm like, thank you.
You're here.
So, yeah. So, yes, Dan and I do that. When new episodes of Star Trek are running, we do that usually on Saturdays at noon Mountain Time. And that's pretty much all I'm doing right now as far as those podcasty sort of Star Trek-y things.
Awesome. And yeah, definitely join us in the Unready Room every Saturday for new episodes of Star Trek. That's, of course, like you said, Strange New Worlds till about middle of September, I guess. And while those are running, there will also be a weekly episode of Positively Trek where we talk about the new episode. Me and Barry generally talking about the new episode that just came out, and then these bonus monthly comic episodes, which I'm very excited about to have done this first one. So we'll see what the response is and how people like that. And regardless, we're going to keep doing it because I love it so much. So awesome. Well, thank you all so much for joining us this month. We will see you again next month for Lower Decks number 10 and Strange New Worlds, The Seeds of Salvation number 1, which is a very long title to put on a spreadsheet when all the rest of the titles are very short. So thanks for that, IDW. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. Live long and prosper, and stay positive. Positively Trek is produced and edited by me, Dan Gunther, and co-produced by Barry DeFord on Treaty 8 territory, the home of the Beaver, Cree, Dene, and Métis people, whose histories, languages, and cultures we respect. We acknowledge the many First Nations, Métis, and Inuit who have lived in and cared for these lands for generations.
KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.